Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
How to use meditation to sharpen your spiritual discernment. Father, we thank you for this evening. We ask that you give us utterance so that we can receive profit as we feast on your word. We receive your word with humility, and we ask that, Lord, you will transform us, you will change us from within, you will bless us. That, Lord, for everyone who will be hearing this message, that, Lord, you will do something unique in our lives, something that only you can do. That at the end of the day, Jesus, you will be glorified, and the victory will be the saints. In Jesus' mighty name. Okay, let's read very quickly. We need to run. 1 Timothy chapter 4. From verse 13 to 15. It says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. How many things did Paul instruct us to give attention to? He said, till I come, give attention to what? Reading, that's number one. Exhortation. Number two, exhortation. Number three, doctrine. Three things. So that means we are supposed to have reading services. Are we together? This is apostolic doctrine. That means sometimes, instead of just allowing the music team to sing, which is good, we may want to start the service by reading portions and portions of scripture. We'll take chapter 1, Sister Yvonne comes up and reads. And then we ask Sister Aniwaju, she comes up, takes chapter 2, and somebody comes up and summarizes chapter 1. This is not the message, Joe. Wow. Brapat comes up, summarizes chapter 2, would have notified them ahead. It's a summary, or they just pick a part of that chapter, and they explain it, and people are blessed. In fact, after that exhortation, we will now go into worship. Now you are ready to worship because you have been fed. So we can read three chapters. All the time you spend shouting, look, look, see what God has done. You can use that. And there's nothing wrong with that anyway. I'm just saying that Paul is saying. You notice that among the things he said you should give attention to, singing was not part of it. All right. I didn't say, you know, we are a worshiping church here. We like to sing and dance and worship. I'm just telling you that our Father said, among other things, some things are very important. And if this is good for a local church, it's good for you personally. So you can also decide to imbibe something like this. You can decide that, like, every Saturday when you wake up in the morning, you can take a book that is not so long, like First Timothy or Jude or First John, and just, you are not looking for any special revelation, you are just reading. Have you ever listened to someone who read the Bible? You know, in those days in the church, our churches, when a pastor calls a particular chapter, it's someone in the congregation that will read. It was not, in case Pastor Tokwe, the pastor has, is trying to deceive you people to say what the Bible is not saying. And then he says, Pastor Tokwe, read. Meanwhile, Pastor Tokwe will read his own meaning into the scripture. Anybody who opens it, the scripture first. How many of you you were the first to open it and you read? That's how church should be. And we are going back there. As we continue to discover these wells, we'll be opening it. And someone may be at the extreme end, and we'll take the mic to the person, and the person will say, this is what God's word says. And before you read, you tell us this is the word of the Lord, so that in case there's someone who thinks it's Adley Chase, or your favorite novelist, this one is Holy Bible. So this is the one. You can open it in that book in your hands, or that iPad or tablet or whatever. So Paul said, give attention to reading. Exhortation. What's exhortation? Exhortation is that short charge, that summary. You know, exhortation is like bringing very clear instructions to believers. We are in a meeting. Sister, please give us a brief exhortation. It's not a long message. You just open 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13, and you say, the word of God says we should give attendance. Give attention. You can just take that word attention, and that's the charge. Give attention. Don't be a forgetful reader. Don't be a forgetful Christian. If God says give attendance, give attention, it is because without it there are certain things you will miss out on. So you can just use that word attendance or attention, and that will be your exhortation, and people will be blessed. And then Paul also told us in the later part, give attention to doctrine. Now this issue of doctrine is where we have a big problem today. People like exhortation. And if you're online, you can hear me now because I'm facing you. This deviation from doctrine is what has made us weak. Now, I am not saying maybe what every church is doing is right or wrong, but go to the Anglican church, go to the Catholic church. 50 years ago, the way they run their service is still the way they are running it. If you go into a Catholic church, you only need to spend 10 minutes there. You say, no, this is not a Catholic. You go and look at the signboard again. Ah, this one is not Catholic. Because there is a way. You can't see the preacher dressing like this. I say, give anybody a high five there. Welcome to church. Come on. Oh, come on, speak in tongues and talk in the Holy. You say, Okay. Sorry, excuse me. Where is the restroom? Say, lie. You go and look at the signboard. Say, I said it. Reformed First Church of the Lord, Allah Dura or something. I said it. The man, they all look like Catholic, but they are not Catholic. You go into an Anglican church, you go into a Methodist church. Something that was unique to those old time churches was that they had systems, and the system was stronger than the people. So you may not really find one big man of God there. It is the system people see. That's why when you find a man of God within those churches that tries to rise above the system, he starts having problem. And you will remember one or two already. If you're in Catholic, some names will be coming to your mind. You try to rise above the system starts fighting you automatically. Because here, we are not glorifying man. You see, this issue of doctrine is what details clearly how we should behave in the house of God. It's what explains to us why we are the way we are. When a person comes to Jesus Christ, he becomes the righteousness of course in Christ, of righteousness of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus, not by his own works. It is our doctrine that except a man be born again, he cannot. He may be a good church member, but he will go to hell. He may be a good giver, but he will go to hell. Acts chapter 4 verse 12. There is no other name that is given to man through which he shall be saved except the name of Jesus. It is a doctrine. But when you now begin to find that you can be in a church, and then you hear, oh, the message today is just for 20 minutes. 20 minutes, is it for foundation, to lay foundation or what? Because a generation rose, the generation above us, they rose and they wanted to correct what our fathers defined as church. Oh, church can be more interesting. Services can be shorter. We don't need to spend hours in church. In those days, there was no first service, second service, third service. It was just Sunday school. You enter the service. Sunday school was a service on its own. Yeah. Some of us, we had classes. Yeah.
And everybody in that class knows each other.
Yeah.
And you know your teacher.
Yeah.
And your assistant teacher.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. When they say, let's go to our class, you are not asking, sorry, which class? You are a first timer. You're a first timer. We already know. The moment we see you, we know you're a first timer. The moment you are lost, an usher will come to you and help you, because it's easy to know. It's easy to know. And they will teach you doctrine. You will ask questions. People will debate. Sometimes you will see the coordinator say, let's round up. Because one group there, they refuse to, No. We are not. We want to try this thing out. But that also made church fun. Then some groups rose up. And yes, they were trying to bring up some improvement. But the improvement became a damaging factor to the foundation. Oh, church can be fun. It can be easy. It can... Service became 1 hour. Praise worship 5 minutes. Sometimes you can be in a church, you just notice nobody, they didn't pray. Right? Praise worship, straight to the word, offering, announcement. Before you shut your eyes, second service has started. Now, why that is good, when you find yourself in certain areas, there's going to be a drawback, and it's going to be in the area of doctrine, which means you are going to have a lot of people coming to church who don't know anything about God. Doctrine means teachings. Is that not what we call liturgy? Huh? They will teach you. This is the way of Christians. This is the way we do our thing here. And as they are quoting, as they are telling you, if you notice most of those manuals, there's a scripture behind every point, every point. So don't argue with your keeper. Open the Bible verse. And that's why you find that many people who grew up in those systems, they can't fit into our disorder. Even when they visit our church, they will just sit down. Pastor Benga's mommy is in the club. They can't fit in. Oh, Busa's mom is in there. Ah, hey, hallelujah. They say, they say, all those Lagos Christians. Because she's from Oshobo. She's from Elisa. They're of Afia. She's from Kogi. From Akure. From Mondo. Where's your village again? they are from different places. And Paul said, a church must find the balance between these three things. So I hope that we can have a reading service very soon. That we all sit down. We will bring our Bibles. Huh? You will mark it. We will enjoy reading for like 30 minutes. And somebody will come up and say, okay, let me give you 3 points from chapter 1 and 3 points from chapter 2. Pam, 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 brapa to scatter it. Then we'll go into worship for 30 minutes. Now you are ready. Your mind has been primed. These things are very important. And when you read the Bible, this is how you should interact with it. This is how someone may read a scripture on Sunday or on Monday morning. And on Friday, he is still meditating on it. Someone says, I use my daily manna. Excuse me? There's no manna again. The only manna that God gave was still what ran their belly. And they died. And Jesus later came and told us that man, that thing they ate, was not even the real manna. And when Pastor David was sharing at the couple's hangout, he started a problematic teaching. When he started talking about Leviathan. And I came up and I decided to continue that conversation, that there are two Leviathans in the scripture. God killed one, left the other one. Why? To prevent that serpent from reproducing. Leviathan is the god of the sea, not Mami Water. Not queen of the coast. Because I may be living in an area where there's no coast. So where is the queen? And the scripture says that when the Israelites were hungry, God gave them meat. But the scripture also told us clearly, and Pastor David read it, that God gave... where the Leviathan was killed and offered as meat. So the meat the people were eating, the Israelites woke up, they saw meat. It was a snake. God killed the snake, said, let it not waste. He gave it to them. And they were frying it. There's no way if you don't understand how interesting the Bible is, you look at the book as something that was designed to frustrate you.
But when you have an open mind towards it, and you are look at just one verse, I've not even entered my scripture. I'm talking about meditation. Look at how we have stretched one verse. And I'm not talking about this verse, so I'm just passing by. Give me the next verse there very quickly, because I need to touch on verse 15. But I'm stimulating a conversation here. Verse 14. We are not in Acts. We are in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 14. Neglect not, look at this. He said, neglect not the gift that is in thee. The moment Paul began to talk about this, he has already established that there is a natural tendency for you to neglect what God is doing in you and be looking at what God is doing in other people. There's a natural tendency for you to look at what God is doing in your life and call it nothing. It's not a gift. It's not a talent. It's not a talent because you didn't refine it. God, why don't I have a master? Why don't I have two PhDs like Pastor Gwinga? Who PhD help? Apart from the fact that I can walk into a meeting and say I'm Dr. Lua Gwinga. So after that, does it add to my bank account? Whether it adds to my bank account now depends on how I'm able to deploy my gift. That's all. Because it may be a foolish doctor. You may be a ChatGPT doctor. You graduated studying ChatGPT, and you want to treat me. You cannot treat me. I'll go and look for an old doctor. All this generation of doctors now, you have to be living healthy, eating right. So a ChatGPT doctor will not treat you. You use your hand to do experiments. See, hey, where did I cut? You cut the wrong place. God forbid, Matthew. Don't allow any young doctor to touch you. I'm warning you. Please put up that scripture. This is not even where we are going. He said, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying of the hands of presbytery. This already established a point, but this is not where we are going. That spiritual gifts can be transferred through laying of hands. Hey, are you here? You've heard me talk about some of these things about prophetic gift, discernment, and all. If you desire it, through the laying of hands, from someone who has it, you can get it. But it will come into your life as a seed. If you don't add manure, you don't water it, the gift will remain there like that, a seed. People will come and say, oh, there's a gift, there's a sound of destiny. I see God doing something in your life. That's it. Nothing. Because you must be a participator with God, a co-participator on your own matter. Jesus died for you, forgave you, he did everything for you, he will still cook for you, cook him, cook. Just God will do everything for you. So why are you here? Quickly. We don't have time. This is an exhortation now. Because, 15. You have to be looking at me. Are we live? I don't understand what you're. I beg. 15. No 15. Please, who has 15? Meditate upon these things. Yeah? Give yourself wholly to them that your profiting. This sounds like the church I used to attend. That your profiting may appear. I like this one. God bless you. Yeah? Now, Paul establishes something here about meditation. He said, these things that I'm sharing with you, I want you to meditate about it. I want you to think about it. And the word meditation in scripture means two things. It means, number one, to think about a thing. Number two, it means to speak it. Are we together? Yes, meditation is not just selah. Think about it. It is muttering. The word is M-U-T-T-E-R, mutter. When you are talking, you are speaking to yourself. And we say, well, have you noticed Sister Shade of recent? She's always talking to herself. Yes, because she's close to God and you are not. Please understand, this is divine technology. Don't look at, and it's amazing when I listen to some of these guys who practice New Age religion and they are referring to the scripture for what they do. The average Christian doesn't even know what's in his Bible. The scripture says, meditate on these things, which means there is no revelation I receive from God that is mine until I meditate on it. You need to understand this. There is nothing God says to me. The scripture says, after the angel appeared to Mary, sir, he said Mary now began to ponder the matter in her heart. Ponder. The word ponder there is to think about it, to ruminate over it, to meditate. It was thereafter that she went to Elizabeth. Because when you think, like, I need to talk to somebody. Who has a problem that, whose condition can relate? This one. She got pregnant at a very old age. She will understand. Someone who got married at 17 and gave birth exactly 9 months later may not understand how a single girl can be pregnant without being married or without being intimate. But this woman that is getting pregnant at her old age, she may understand crazy things. Let me go to her. Say, meditate on this. Please understand, and if you need to write, I want to put it down. When, no matter the revelation that the Lord gives to you, it doesn't become yours until you successfully meditate on it. Meditate on it. The scripture says, meditate on it. So that your profit, which means the deployment of the gift, is to bring certain things into your life. But they don't become, you don't see the full picture until you begin to think through. You begin to meditate. And I said to you that meditation has two aspects. Number one, to think. Number two, to mutter. Now in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, let's go to Joshua. That's the popular scripture that has created a problem in the body of Christ. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. What is the dosage for meditation? This is what God expects, that every 12 hours, your mind must be ruminating on his word, on him. And when, you know, and I keep saying this, and I do hope somebody somewhere is listening to me. Let me tell you something. As, this is how the prophetic works. Pastor Ayo is in the UK. He called me, was it yesterday or 2 days ago? Yesterday? Because he said, well, we want to do prophetic school in the UK. So he's in the UK already. He called me. He now said, oh, there's someone that wants to talk to you. He didn't mention the person's name. I wanted to say, Pastor, who knows me knows you like that. The moment he gave the phone to the person, all I heard was, good morning, Pastor. I didn't know the person. But the moment I heard the voice, I entered into the spirit realm. I said, wait. He said my name. Then he mentioned his name. I said, wait, don't say anything. You've been following me for a while. He said, yes. You've been trying to reach me for 3 years. He said, yes. I said, yeah, continue. He was shocked. I didn't. Now, if you ask me how I know, what I'm sharing tonight is part of the key. Huh? I wasn't praying, no. I wasn't praying. Let me tell you, prayer is to the Christian. What meditation is to the Hindu worshiper, to the Buddhist monk. Those people who practice Eastern religion, when you say pray, when they say we'll be praying for you, what they are saying is our thoughts are with you. We are thinking about you. We are strengthening you. You are not alone. Prayer and meditation, they are twins. Are you, somebody with me? We have developed the faculty of prayer so much, but a lot of us have failed to develop the faculty of meditation, because meditation involves engaging of your mind. You have to engage your mind. You cannot speak in tongues and bypass it. Speaking in tongues has made us very reckless, because you can just speak in tongues, you don't even have to think about anything, and it is fine. There's a place for praying in tongues without bothering. Pastor, I don't know what to pray about. Just pray in tongues. You don't have to worry. The Holy Spirit will help fill that gap. But you see, in this area of mental engagement, how the Holy Spirit uses your mind to bridge the gap. Like the guy who called me, and I immediately knew that he had been trying to reach me for 3 years. Pastor called me one day. He said, Binga, say this is your prophetic. You don't they pass my own over? I said, Papi, you want to tell me I should not be working in this company again? You want to sack me? When they start telling you at the office that you are doing a great job, we love what you do, but
I said, Papi, you want to sack me? You want to give me sack? I said, don't worry. There's nothing happening.
But how did I? You know these things, eh? I had to learn that there must be a science to this thing. There's, when you see the Lord's, we don't really have time. See, let me tell you. Put up Joshua 1:8. Let's look at. Do you have the Message translation? Let's see what Message says, or maybe Amplified. Let's look at that. Message translation. This is the Amplified. The book of the. Okay, let's start with Message. And don't for a minute let this book of Revelation be what? You see that many of us, we lie. When you say, the Lord spoke to my heart, I will just pray, the Spirit of God just spoke to my spirit. What they meant to say is he spoke to my mind. But if they say mind, it won't sound spiritual. So we just say, you know, I was just waiting on the Lord. I just heard that voice. I just heard that. Ah, the way you did, is that how you heard it? It's because I don't hear God like that too. And maybe I'm still learning. I just heard it very clear, very clear. I know that voice anyway. Ah, you know the way you are, baby. You know, let some of us learn. See, I know that voice in my left ear, in my left ear. Ah. When we God, why can't you be walking with? He said, leave that guy. Guy, they lie. Please put up that scripture. I am telling you that whether you're a fashion designer, you're a hairstylist, you're a barber, you're a doctor, see, you can operate in this level of prophetic where your mind, your mind is like a charger connected to the socket. That socket, as long as there's power supply, power is flowing. The key is to tame your mind, bring it to the subjection of Christ, and say from now on, your default mode is not to be blank. Your default mode is no longer to just think anything. Your default mode is to meditate and rest on the Lord. Look at the scripture. It says, shall meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything, making sure you have to be sure you take note, you anticipate, you expect, you know, performance, everything that is written in it. Then you will get where you are going, then you will succeed. Give me Amplified. This book of the Lord shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous. You see, prosperity is directly tied to meditation. Because meditation is what happens when you are given a problem at the office, and then you are just thinking, what's the best way to go about this thing? And you are racking your brain. You see, there's a level you rack the brain to, it just opens up. You start seeing some other angles. It's just like when I said I was at the exam hall, and the moment they say start, I saw my brain open in three compartments, like three monitors. And then I wrote, not based on what I had memorized, but it as though I was being inspired to write. So that's a grace. So the key to your prosperity is in meditation, because meditation will allow you process and get detail. Meditation always looks at the aspect of detail. Meditation always focuses on the aspect of detail. It always looks at detail. It doesn't just look at the concept. It doesn't look at the theory alone. It looks at the nitty-gritty of the matter. Yeah, God says that I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee in the way to go and the way of profit. Yes, God says so. How do we get there? Meditation. A lot of Christians are spiritually high but mentally weak, which is why God cannot do much with them, because they will be the one resisting God, not the devil. Meditation is so important. And maybe I can share a few of my let me tell you how to do these things, because sometimes people just, you know, they think it's magic. It's not magic. Are you here? I'm going to give you a few scriptures that you can meditate on, because sometimes before I leave, before we are done here, so it's a practical session, don't worry. Give me Psalms chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Verse 1 to 3. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Quickly. Somewhere in this equation, if we do have the time, maybe we'll address this on Sunday if the Lord permits. I will now show you the interplay. Take it back to King James or some other version. I will show you the interplay between worship and meditation. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. But his delight is where? Is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he what? How many times? So there are 12 hours in the day and 12 hours in the night, and God expects you to dedicate considerable time within those two time frames to meditation. He expects it. It's not really a suggestion. Because what happens is that there are arrows that fly by day and pestilence that move by night, and God knows that the closer your mind is to him, your spirit is with him, but your mind is far away. And if your mind is far away, how quickly can you get revelation? Even if the Lord is speaking to you. Because your mind must still play a significant role to be able to process what the Lord is saying. And that's why you find that for some of you, anytime you're in God's presence, you notice that it's easy for you. You're always writing. God is always speaking to your heart, to your mind. Maybe when you're in church, it's easier for you to hear God when you're in a kind of meeting or some types of meeting. And you are getting an idea when you get home, do this, research on this. Research. Because you are in the atmosphere that permits that level of revelation. But what do you think if I tell you that without a song, without a keyboard, without anybody trying to tell you, dance left and move to the right, through the key and the tool of meditation, you can actually get everything you need, such that even without singing, you can feel God's presence around you because you are neck deep in revelation. Now, when we are talking about revelation, there are two aspects I want you to look at. I want you to look at the active revelation and the passive revelation. The active revelation is when you are actually taking a scripture and you are meditating on it, or when you have trained your spirit to be able to meditate on the presence of the Lord. And I love this part. You know, when I'm able to shut my eyes. Maybe I'm out on the road and my driver is just taking me somewhere and I sit at the back. I just shut my eyes. I'm just meditating. Sometimes I'm asking the Lord, what are you doing right now? What's going on in heaven? I'm just meditating. Sometimes I really don't have anything to meditate about. I just begin to hum. I hum a song. How I love your love. It is my meditation all day. And I will just... But because as I am doing that thing consciously, I begin to sense the presence of the Lord in less than 5 minutes. And you need to learn this thing. You need to practice it. You need to ensure you master it. That is why Elisha could say to those people, get me a minister. Because he knows that with the problem and the trouble these people have given to him, it might be quite difficult for him to connect. So he needed some external aid. Which is why sometimes as pastors, we need a particular type of ministry. I mean, I went to preach in a meeting somewhere in Ajao, about maybe last month or so, early this month. I didn't know the keyboardist from anywhere, but the guy just seemed to get it. You know, he just seemed to get it as he was singing. Do you know that we were worshiping all the songs he was singing? I started writing. I know the song, so. But I was so blessed as he was just playing. I started writing the songs. I'm trying to see if I can I just remember the song, you know, that we sing, that we are gathering together. It's our own song. You can't sing those songs and lost. But forget. So I started writing down some of those songs. I started remembering some very old songs. There were some songs we used to sing in those past days. Down at your feet, oh Lord, is the most. Many, if you get to some churches, the moment they start, you see everybody going on their knees. Oh boy, there's pride in your life. There's pride. Nobody said go on your knees. The moment the minister just said, for there is no
higher calling, no greater honor than to.
The moment you hear that, you just see the pastor, all the minister, they just go, everybody in church just start. You say, are we in celestial church? You say, yes.
I'm amazed at your glory, embraced by your mercy, oh God. I live to worship.
The moment that guy was just playing these songs, I was just in heaven. I went to the guy, I said, give me your number. I was like, is it strings or chords? Like, you know, I now realize that it is not what he was doing, it's the person.
Yes.
Like, I was saying to them in the choir some months ago, or maybe last year, I said, you may be more talented than I am. Eh? But if we sing together, I can assure you I'll give you a run for your money. Because me, I'm singing from the presence. You have talent. You know, so when you if you sing out of here, your belly, is different from when you sing from here, your head. This one involves every part of you. The moment I engage this one, it's easy for me to combine it with meditation, because the words that I'm saying out, my mind begins to reflect on them. I sing the song thrice or four times. All of a sudden, I just notice, like, I can feel different. I feel like God is around me, you know. And you can sing one song for 1 hour. You are meditating. Listen to me. Many people are trying to hear God's voice. What they need to do is to get close to God. Because you are trying to hear a frequency that you are not tuned into. The idea of worship, the idea of meditation, is to bring you closer. So that naturally, when you are in that space, you hear. You can be in the bus. Oh Lord, I live to worship you. 1 hour. Hey, oh Lord. Sometimes you record yourself. I've said this thing. Record yourself in those intimate moments. Get into the bus and wear your earpods. And listen to yourself. Worship God. Listen to yourself. You can't. No. The conductor can make you mad. You understand? In that moment. That guy said, hello, don't adjust for me, I'm okay. You're just looking for how to collect my number. It's not going to work. I also notice that every time sometimes some people say, oh, I've not had time to pray for a while. I notice that there are two categories of people in that zone. Someone says, I've not had time to pray for hours. But you find him consistently meditating. Meditating on the Lord, meditating on his goodness, meditating on his testimonies, meditating on his faithfulness, meditating on his word, meditating on his power, his anointing. What many pastors, especially those of us who operate in the healing anointing, don't tell you is that before we come into the service, if it's going to be a healing meeting, we spend our time meditating on the anointing. Because scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So there's got to be a thinking for you to be approved. There's got to be a thinking. If you have not thought through, it cannot be approved. Some people are saying, Lord, when will I be married? But most of the thoughts they have in their mind is on being unmarried. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You register yourself in the spirit through your thought patterns and your utterance. The scripture says, my tongue you have prepared as the pen of a ready writer. So in the natural realm, we use pen. In the spiritual realm, you use our tongue. And using your tongue requires two things, actually. Because the Lord not only hears what we say, he hears what we think. That's why the writer of Proverbs says, guard your heart with all diligence. Because out of it flows the issues of life. The things that pertain to your life and destiny are in your mind. And you can never rise above your thought level. That's what God says. If you keep feeling that, oh, someone is going to keep pressing me. Someone is going to keep assaulting me in my dream. Oh, I will never be rich. Oh, this family, I just wish I was born. You will never leave that place. You will never leave that place. Oh, what if I die? What if you live long? Why is it so convenient to think evil. Jesus, Pastor David, would say to the people, why think ye evil in your heart? The natural state of man is to think evil. It is not natural to think good. That's what I'm telling you. That is why when you try to meditate, you notice your thoughts are scattered. But when you want to focus on something that is evil, you don't need training. You are like a fish in the water. You swim easily. So you see his head. Don't you just jump you now? Stupid woman. Who does she think she is? What do you have that I don't have? That one, you notice is flowing. The anointing is flowing. There's no training. But when you want to meditate on the word of God, you have not even read two lines from the verse. An Instagram just something just pops up. Say, what's happening? Pum. The next time you remember you are trying to read the scripture will be late in the night. If you are lucky. For some people it will be 3 days. I'm trying to tell you that meditation is a skill that needs to be learned. Don't rush it. You will need to learn it. Your mind doesn't want it. I'm telling you ahead. I know you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Your mind doesn't want it. So you have to put yourself and listen to me. If we master this thing to a level, we will live above sin. You didn't hear that, though. You didn't hear. That's why you are quiet. Say, your word I regard in my heart. So that the word, what is that scripture? It's 119, right? 119, I believe. Which means if I regard God's word, what it becomes a prevailing thought in my mind. Huh? And I will always go in the direction of my thought. So I will not sin. If I leave my mind to do whatever it wants to do, and I assume that God understands, it always knows. Your mind by nature is designed to take you off the cliff. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Hold on to this scripture. The question I want to ask you is, what is the technology that allows God's word to stay in my mind? Meditation. Do you know many years ago when I started growing as a Christian, when I came to Southwest, I started listening to Bishop David Oyedepo. I started listening to him. Do you know there was something I observed after a while? I realized I started knowing a lot of scriptures by listening to him. I noticed I almost knew everything in Proverbs and Psalms. Huh? I wasn't trying to know the scriptures. So I just kept playing the message over and over and over. It was the days of cassette tapes. I now noticed, oh my God. So there's something about listening, deliberate exposure that I can give myself to. After a while, I just realized, you know the song. Without practicing, you know the song. So the second aspect of meditation is passive. That is the one that you are probably busy doing a few other things, but because your mind has been programmed to enter a default mode, you may be working on your computer and you are, I'm amazed at your glory. As you are doing that, subconsciously your mind is just focusing on the presence of God. You are working, you are preparing food for a client, you are doing stuff, but somewhere at the background, the operating system running you that moment is coming from God's presence. So you may be watching a movie. If you are a movie watcher, learn this one I'm telling you now. So our movies will not destroy you. I love watching Chinese animation. My wife like, why do you always, what do you benefit? I say, I always see revelation. When I watch them, it's a revelation. I say, yes. I will see how a boy who was despised, who was looked down upon, he now goes into one forest. He now contacts one power. Then he starts to meditate. They will tell him, be meditating. They will tell him, you need to develop yourself. Develop yourself means you need to meditate. So you see him, he will cross his leg for days without eating. Then they will tell you he has crossed level 1. He is now in level 2. His progress is fast. You start seeing, say, that boy that was very useless, he's now developing. He's becoming, then the girl that they wanted to take away from him because they said he doesn't have gift, they'll now say, maybe they should marry now because the guy is not useless again. You know, so when I look at all those things, I'm seeing David. I'm seeing David who has a calling. David who has an anointing, but he doesn't know it. David who thinks that playing the guitar in the forest is natural. He doesn't know that he's the only one in Israel. Who has that ability? He doesn't know. He doesn't know that your gift may be tied to your pain. And that if you despise your pain, your gift may never grow. You're asking God to take away the problems in your life. Your pain is what will drive you to God. And when your pain drives you to God, in the process of being close to God, some abilities will start developing. It may not be prophecy, it may be miracles. It may be signs and wonders. It may be an unusual ability to look at something and say, this thing is not right. And you will always be right. You just begin to look at everything and you can see God. You look at everything. You can, this person reminds me of Absalom. This other person reminds me of Jonathan. Oh, this person. You just begin to see scripture in everything. You are not doing it deliberately. You are probably at your office. You are trying to wash your clothes or do your dry cleaning. You are doing stuff. But somewhere in your mind is just dancing around spiritual things. That is, you also need that one. Because that passive one is the one that will keep you connected. That makes it easy for you to be in the bathroom and be seeing visions. Are you here? Are you here? People are not okay. Maybe we should do this as a prophetic school class so I will document it properly, because I am telling you that if you want to learn meditation, you have to be deliberate, you have to know the different aspects, passive and active, you have to know the techniques, you have to know the challenges that come with it, you have to know the price. The price is that you will not always be available. In Psalm 119 verse 97, he said, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day, all the day. You want to hear God, get into meditation. You want to hear God, get into me. Your it's not your spirit. Your mind is far. Look at Psalm 63 verse 6 very quickly. Psalm chapter 63 verse 6. This is a very beautiful one. You see, God has structured this whole thing such that wherever you find yourself, you can practice meditation. You don't have to go into the forest and cross your feet and be doing like one religion like that. It's a lie. I know what they are doing. They are trying to prime the soul to go into a state. Eh? Should I tell you this thing? Now, let me tell you. Do you know that every time you see a vision, can you people undo this one? Let me say it in a Christian way. Let me try and say it in a Christian way. Before you start asking me, Pastor, what's that about? I don't believe in this thing. Where is it in the Bible? Do you know that every time you see a vision, have you ever seen a vision while you are actively doing other things? Huh? But you couldn't control it. It just happened. Huh? You can trick your body into visions. You can trick your body. It's just that it takes a lot of discipline. Now, every time you see a vision, most of the times, except when God is supernaturally trying to superimpose, you will notice that you must either be unconscious or subconscious. Eh? You are probably doing something and it just happened. Eh? Maybe you weren't thinking too deeply about, you didn't even know you were going to see a vision. Whatever, you are just doing it and finding it like you saw something. Huh? The idea of those people that say be doing is so that when you are hallucinating and doing you can trick your mind and your body into a subconscious state that allows you see visions. Let me give you another example. Have you ever prayed at night and while you are praying, you prayed, you became so intense and you didn't know you slept off, but you were seeing a vision? Then you just realize you came back to yourself. You continue the prayer only to realize, but I wasn't sleeping. Yeah. I actually, because you prayed and you hit a point in that prayer, you triggered your subconscious mind to take over. And anytime your body enters a state of rest and you are not in control, it's easy for you to see vision. The barrier between you and visions is the fact that you are limited by your reality here. The moment you are able to find a way to consciously bypass that thing, through prayer, for instance, fervent prayer, you know, not casual prayer, fervent prayer, you know, your mind can be tricked to enter a subconscious state and just notice you are seeing things. The thing about that type of vision is that if you don't document it immediately, you forget. This type of vision that you just come pam, pam, like that, you just know you saw something. In 3 seconds, you can forget. Okay, delete it. Just delete what I said. Put up the scripture. When I remember you upon my bed and I meditate upon you in the night watches. Please, how many watches do we have? We have a 6 a.m. watch. We have a 12 midnight watch. We have a 3 a.m. watch. We have a 6 a.m. watch. Now, this guy says that, then we have a 9 a.m. We have a 12 p.m., 3 p.m., 6 p.m. So anything from 9 p.m., put up that scripture. Anything from 9 p.m., this guy says, I meditate upon you in my night watch. Do you see that the only thing we do in vigils is not supposed to be prayer? This guy came to wait upon the Lord in the night. He was meditating all through. You will be with him in the room. He's not talking. Sorry, is this how people pray in your church? Well, I don't understand. Are you Hare Krishna? Hey, which one are you practicing? Are you a Christian? Because in his own church, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire. He. Landlord will come and bang. Brother Marcos, don't bring this house down now. We too are Christians. The other brother, hey, please be doing like Brother Gbenga. It doesn't disturb us. I'm disturbing all the witches in the area. It's just that you are not a witch. That's why you don't know. Look at this strategy. Me, when I read the scripture, I'm seeing all this strategy. He said, I remember you on my bed. I remember. Even, oh goodness me. I wish somebody is seeing what I'm saying. These are things you can just take, begin to practice. You will notice that you can supercharge your spirituality 100%. Instead of, see what some people do when they get to the bed. Sorry, I'm just seeing your message. How are you, dear? Who is your dear? Is that why you came to this world? He said, I remember you. The night when you hit your bed, God doesn't want you to stay with anybody except him. You have still not heard it. I said, God is so jealous. He said, when you are on your bed, think of me. Not your husband. This is, when... Okay, you are finally getting it. Are you still here? See, let me tell you, you will see some people always say that they're always having visions, they're always having prophetic dreams. They won't tell you what they are doing. This is it. A lot of spiritual people are practicing this thing. They are not even conscious of that. This is his principle. That when you hit your bed, God wants you to spend the last moments before you go to bed with him. That's what triggers visions. Are you here? This is how you will begin to retrain your mind to expect God. There's someone in this church, one of my dear friends is in this church, and he operates in the gift of a dreamer. Huh? Like, that's his gift. God doesn't talk. God talks to him, but this dreaming thing. When he shares with me, I always think of Joseph. He would tell me, he said, I'm going to pray. God will speak to me after the prayer at night through dreams. Exactly. It's as if the way we prophesy or we speak in tongues and interpret. The brother says, if I pray at night as I'm going to bed, I know he is coming. Is operating it at a gift level. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you must understand that every anointing has the believer's level. Come on, are you here? Yes. Every anointing, for instance, like prophecy, has the the believer's level. It has the gift level. Eh? It has the ministry level. It has the office. So any Christian who is just, you know, coming to Christ today, and I've seen those kind of things growing up, someone just gives his life to Christ at the altar and he gets baptized in the Holy Spirit immediately. Right? Have you heard of such stories? Some even prophesy. But the guy is a new Christian. Holy man, Satan, God is here. God is here. The guy is a new, you've never spoken in tongues like that. You have been coming to this church since 1840. This one just came. Holy Ghost arrested him. Then when he becomes your friend, he will now become cold like you. Come on, say God forbid. There are no cold people here. Eh? When we pray, the spirit realm must know some people are awake. Yes, it's called fervent prayer. So there's that gift level, that believer's level. That believer's level is also that level where sometimes you prophesy. Sometimes you can't explain. You just say, ah, Pastor, somebody was sick in my office, so I just decided to join my faith with her. And Pastor, he was healed, though. I really thank God, though. I was so blessed. The excitement is showing that you yourself, you are surprised as the person that you didn't know God will answer, but he did. Anyway, we shall thank God. We thank God for you and the person that was healed. That's believer's level. Gift level is when you're operating at 1 Corinthians 12. Where to some, the Holy Spirit gives the gift of discerning of spirit. Some gives the word of knowledge. Some gives the gift of tongues. One of the gifts we don't see men very often now is the gift of interpretation of tongues. But it gives to some people. Alright? It gives some the gifts of healing. The gift of healing has a S. Which means some may be gifted in the healing of migraine, but they may not be gifted in the healing of cancer. Some may be gifted in the healing of cripples, but they may not be gifted in the healing of blind eyes. When I began to operate in the healing, it's one of the things I noticed initially was that I was gifted with anything that has to do with pain. Pain in the body. Alright? But then over time, it started growing. But for if the inflammation or whatever, you heard Sister Tina's testimony a few weeks ago, right? You know, there was some kind of inflammation. And yes, that my anointing works naturally in those areas. But it has even grown beyond that. But initially, if the thing has to do with pain, if I pray, I don't need faith, it will go. If the matter is caused by a demon spirit, it will go. Then, no, if it's a medical condition, just carry yourself to the hospital. I don't have that anointing. But it took me time of studying the way each case panned out. I just noticed, this one was a spirit. Sometimes someone is telling to me, Pastor, I can't sleep at night. I'm always... Say, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, the person starts coughing. I know it's the demon coming out. And the person is sitting from me. The person is not falling down. As I'm casting out the devil, I say, you spirit oppressing her, come out. You say, and I will keep quiet for 3 minutes when the person is done. I say, the devil is gone. The person will sleep that night. If I saw them start sleeping from that afternoon. I preached in a church where the assistant pastor of the church said he has not been able to sleep for about 10 years. He doesn't sleep at night. But I came to that church to preach. That was many years ago. And the pastor said he didn't even know that God touched him. So he just went home, laid on the bed, woke up the next morning like... If you see the way they were celebrating that testimony in that church, that the assistant pastor said he can sleep. you may not know the problem that comes. If you, let me tell you something. A doctor said something. A white doctor said something. He said, no matter how much you take care of your health, you go to the gym, you work out, you even take me too. I want to go and register in gym now. I just want to announce. When you see me now, I'll be taking video. Hello, guys. Morning tip for the day. Are you trying to work out or are you giving us morning tip? What's your problem, bro? If you want to work out, work out. Those are you can't be doing 10,000 steps and be showing us. You should be tired. Just did say you gotta keep fit, bodily exercise, bodily, profitably too. Amen. God, to be honest, you just want to trend. You want to go viral. Konipe swear. You should be tired. But the doctor made a statement. He said, no matter how much you watch your health, no matter how much you eat well, no matter how much you use your supplement, if you don't sleep well, you will die of very terrible disease. God created sleep for a reason. If you pray overnight, make sure you make up for it in the day. Don't say, I know who I am. He has given me power. Yes. Now you are looking older than I am. So there's always a believer's level, there's a gift level in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Then we have the ministry level. Alright? When you are now operating that gift at a higher level, you can prophesy to many more people. Your gift, people begin to testify. Oh, well, pastor gave me poetry. You begin to hear things like, when she said this, this happened. When people begin to notice among you that you have an unusual ability to prophesy with result. That is if your gift is prophecy, right? Then you move to the office level. That is the highest level. It's the office of Christ. The office level is the office of Christ. It's not just about prophesying. It's about maturity and wisdom. Where you can, when you get to the level of a prophet, you operate in the office of a prophet, you are not just prophesying. You may know what God is saying, but you may not say it the way a prophet will say. You just come and say, Sister Yvonne, I think you should move out of that your house. You understand? You just give her the solution. The emphasis of the strength of the office is wisdom. That is what God will have you do. And it always reveals the love of Christ. You will see that God cares about you. So he's telling you, do this, do that. It's not just, oh, there are 3 witches in your house. You understand? That can happen, but that office of praise and the authority level is very high. It's just like a brother that was he'd been writing jam for so many years, and he was jamming him. The team was jamming him. Then one day he went to Prophet Babajide, who is a CAC prophet. These are men that worked with Ayo Babalola. And this man is a prophet of, you know. So he just came to me and said, Daddy, I'm struggling. But Daddy, I can't go to school. Every time I write jam, they seize my result. They do this, they do that. And the man just said, you want to go to school? He said, yes. Go and start packing your things. That's what the man said. He did not pray for the boy. The normal thing to do as a Christian, even if you know God, is to say, let us pray. Abi, it's a Christian thing. The man did not say, he just said, go and start packing your things. You are going to school. Before the boy got home, you know those days, the way they used to print all those slips for jam, they told him they released his result. So even when it comes to the matter of meditation, there are levels. The earlier you start now, the better for you. And what I notice in my personal experience is that it makes hearing God extremely easy. Extremely easy. Even when I'm not praying, I'm not doing anything, I may just be in a place and I know exactly. I mean, like sometimes it's so bad that I don't have to look at the work clock or my phone to know the time. That's how sharp it is. You begin to notice that you are even asking, Holy Spirit, what is this? We say, I just want you to know. It's not like you need it. You just notice your spirits become very sensitive. Somebody comes into your office and says, oh, we need to make this design for us. And you can just tell, like, ah, no, this is bad business. It's bad business. It's bad business. There's nothing on the person. But you see, when you meditate, you spend time with him so much, so much, so much. You just get to a point, you know. Say, we know that all things work together for the good of those that love God. You see, that we know. Eh? It's another revelation. Eh? But you just come to that. You are not really hearing God with your ears. You are hearing with your knower. Now, let me give you a few scriptures that I use. And please understand that when I say meditation, I'm talking about how many things? 2 things. I'm talking about you being able to think and what? And to mutter. All right? So one of the scriptures that I use normally, or I would use, is Isaiah chapter 41 verse 10. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. So when you are meditating, it does not automatically translate that you have to shut your eyes. For instance, if you are reading a scripture, you may want to, you know, open your eyes and read it. And I advise you to take your time to collate a set of scriptures that works for you. All right? Some scriptures, you may find them easier to meditate with. All right. Number two, I'm going to skip a few so that I don't give you all the trade secrets. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. Now, this is what happens. When you read a scripture like this, I read it like, say, you could read like, say, 2-3 times. Then after I do that, I begin to speak the scripture out to my own hearing. All right? So I can say something like, the Lord is my shepherd. On the basis of that scripture, I shall not want. For he makes me to lie down in green pasture. The moment I begin to say this, I allow my mind begin to draw the pictures. I don't allow my mind wander. I begin to draw the picture of the Lord leading me like a shepherd. But because, for instance, I mean, like, I'm a video editor, and I was saying to some of our folks here that as wonderful as graphic design is, I've never really succeeded at it because I like moving images. I don't like things that are stationary. So, and I think it has to do with my gift, you know, in the prophetic. So you see moving things, you know. So for me, if I'm reading a scripture like this, I will use my mind to create this verse as a motion picture, and I can see the Lord leading me beside still water. Leading beside still water means that that the Lord is able to give me timely direction. He leads me. There's a place in your business that is called still waters. There's a place in your life that is called still waters. It's the place where everything happens naturally. There's no distortion. There's no noise. It just leads you there. But you may be in a phase in your life where there's a lot of fighting, and you have to fight to keep the customer, fight to, you know, fight your mechanic, fight everybody. So I can go to the Lord with this scripture. Maybe I'm trusting God for money, for funds to pay my children's school fees. I go to him and I kneel down. It could be on my bed. I read the scripture. I read it out 3 times, 4 times. The moment the scripture enters my mind, it becomes an utterance. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus, for you are my shepherd and you are leading me. I am submissive to your guidance, to your will. My mind journeys with you. My spirit agrees with you. I begin to pray as I'm led by the Spirit, but I'm not really praying. I'm just speaking that scripture, and I can repeat that scripture continuously. The Lord is my light and my salvation, of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light. Hey, you can repeat that one line for 12 hours and you are praying. That's the only prayer point. The Lord is my light and my salvation, of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. If you know the implication of that verse, you will know it's more powerful than all the noise you have been making. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Somebody will come into a room and sees you on your knees. The Lord is my light and my salvation, of whom shall I be afraid? I'm confident in this, that the Lord shall hear. You just continue. He's quoting scriptures. It's just one scripture or two scriptures. But you just keep repeating. Keep repeating. And if you think that this is vain praying, sir, there's a difference between vain praying and repetitive praying. Vain praying is when everything you are talking about makes no sense to God. When you are saying something that has no bearing on your destiny, and you are trying to force the hand of God to approve it, it is vain, it is idle. It is idle praying. And vain is also closely related to idols in the scripture. When a person is asking for what God has not permitted, it is vain praying. But repeated praying is you are insisting that this thing that God has said is mine, is truly mine. It's truly mine. So you pray that your joy may be full. You insist. It's a prayer of insistence. But in this particular case, I'm reciting a particular scripture. It may be something, maybe your business is dying or suffocating. Then you take Isaiah chapter 48, it may be verse 16 or 17. Say, I'm the Lord thy God, which teacheth you in the way to profit. Then you begin to recite that scripture. You begin to pace your room. And just hold your phone and continue reciting. Don't pray. Continue reciting. Don't pray. Continue reciting. Continue reciting. Continue reciting. Continue reciting. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Continue reciting. Continue reciting. The devil will tell you, what are you doing? You say, I didn't ask you to be here. I don't know why this thing is paining you, because I'm not talking to you. The devil will try to convince you that what you are doing is completely stupid. Stay with it for 3 months, then check the result. So if I was to be going for a meeting where I know all the who is there, I will lock myself up somewhere and I will say, Father, I thank you because I'm anointed. I was born for this. I was living my own life. You called me and anointed me and told me, don't hold back. I will, while you, before you open your mouth, I will feel it. I say, so I thank you because my words are anointed. And I begin to quote scripture. I say, for the Spirit of the Lord has made me, and the breath of God has given me life. I begin to speak. I say, for there's an inspiration in man. There's an unction in man. Inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. I begin to repeat scripture. I'm not praying. I'm meditating. I'm muttering. Therefore, I thank you because the anointing is upon my head, and it's upon my heart, and it's upon my hands. And whatever I touch is anointed. Whatever I touch is blessed. You can do it for your business. You understand? This is my own job. You understand? You can do it whatever it is. Because you really don't know who your real clients are. These your clients you have now, they're already there. We need new ones. When you ask, how are you growing your business? It says the Holy Ghost. And you are not lying. Because you know that this last client that came, there was no way on earth. You didn't know him from anywhere. You didn't know her from anywhere. God just supernaturally brought the person. So why are you depending on your own understanding? When God even warned us in scripture that we should not depend on our own understanding. You can change your life if you can change what you are thinking. You can change your life if you can change what you are thinking. If you want to get married, start seeing yourself in your marriage, in your home. Start seeing yourself having a chat with your husband. Start speaking it. He said, "Cause the barren to be a keeper of children." You begin to speak. It's not just praying. You are speaking scriptures. So sometimes you may need to take your time, arrange the scriptures first. Don't just be babbling. Arrange the scriptures. This is the situation we are facing in this family. Maybe it's financial. Maybe somebody, people are always falling sick. Arrange the scriptures. Then when you come, maybe it's because you think you want to pray that you are always feeling tired. Have the scriptures here on your phone, on your iPad or whatever. Open it. For he that knew no sin was made sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God. He took my sins, he took my iniquity, he was flogged for my sickness, and he took my shame upon him so that I can be healed, because by stripes I'm healed. You just begin to read all those verses. Huh? You begin to read them. 3 hours. That's the day you will know it's not easy. Be sweating out all kind of demons and all kind of all those satanic poison that is in your body, in your mind. You sweat it out because right now you are insisting. The devil never thought you would take it that serious to stand and insist. Everything you say will be on scripture. You are talking too much. Use scriptures. I say you are talking too much. Use scriptures. Use scriptures. Take your time. Arrange 20 scriptures. Whatever I can say. If you don't know what to do, go and download ChatGPT. Give me 20 powerful scriptures on healing. Then arrange it the way you want. Write it out in your notebook. Hold your notebook in case your Satan wants to do strong thing with your phone and you can't charge. Bring out your notebook. I will read it from my diary. And keep saying it. Please tell me, tell your neighbor, keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Let when they check the record history of all the things you've been saying every time you are praying, let it just be seen in heaven. Let them see scriptures, 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 scriptures. What's going on here? I say, the guy know the grill. The next day you are back, 40 scriptures. The next day you are back, another 40 scriptures. She's not sure Holy Ghost fire. I say, no, it's only scripture. Why? What's up? He said, the pastor. Oh, yeah. Let's see what she's saying. Everything seems to be aligned. You understand? So you cannot pray well if you don't prepare. You can't pray well if you don't prepare. You can change your life if you change what you are meditating on. If you change what you are saying, you can change your life. You don't have any disadvantage. I'm telling you, the only disadvantage is that you are too quiet. And the good thing about muttering is that many times when you try to meditate, sometimes your mind may be wandering. So when you begin to speak out, you silence that wandering spirit. But over time, you get better. You get better. You get better. You get better. You get that? Ben Carson's mom, that wonderful doctor, said, after her son failed and failed and failed, she said, my son is not a failure. He just hasn't gotten it, but he's not a failure. It's not a failure. It's not a failure. You're going to do well. 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 For years, one day, boom, the brain opened. The first doctor to separate Siamese twins. Those who they say were brilliant for their mother's womb didn't figure it out. It was the one that was dull. You heard Pastor Kola when doing the okay. Were you there, Pastor Kola session? He said his teacher told him in school. He said he was the last in the class. Say you can never make it. Say you can't learn. You don't have the ability to learn. That's my friend that came here on Sunday, Pastor Kola. He said you know a teacher. It's not and you know the way teachers when they you, a teacher is speaking like he has looked at you. You can't learn. But don't waste money on this one. Let him learn something else. As if it's not the brain you used to learn that one. He said that was why he got into a trap. He was saying for the first time. Every year he did one master's until he did 9 master's degree. Because every time he wanted to rest, he would remember the voice of a man that he doesn't even know where the man is again. You see what happens when you are too quiet? You allow other people's thoughts and their voices to get into your head. Nobody will ever marry you. You're useless. You are. You'll be hearing that boy. You say it's your ex. You are still hearing his voice. He's living rent free inside your head. Inside your head. Do you understand? Meanwhile, you are paying $3 million where you are living in Lagos here. But the guy is living rent free. Anytime somebody wants to ask you, I think he will not stay like the other one. He will not stay. Because there's a prevailing thought that is giving birth to children inside your head. My friend started doing masters. People thought it was because he was passionate for education. He said no. He felt as though he was running against the words of one man who said, you are a failure. Until one day he just said, stop. No, you are living for somebody else. So he now decided, I'm not reading again. You know it's possible for you to be doing something now because of what somebody said. You're a failure. You cannot amount to anything. You make mistake. Eventually, you have a child. And you notice you are racing against time because of what one person said. Instead of you to focus on what God has said. God's word is so powerful. He took a harlot and made her a grandmother for Jesus Christ. That's how powerful God's word is. What's that woman's name again? Rahab. You can't talk about Jesus without talking about Rahab. I know you are very holy, but it's okay. We know you. We have your matric number. Everything is fine. We know you. But you see, you will not be among those that will be mentioned when Jesus is going to be spoken about, because you are too holy. Your holiness even surprises God. But Rahab, line up. This one, her name will be there. I'm not asking you to go and attempt being a prostitute. I'm just telling you that God's mercy is so strange. Only God understands it. However, you can make some decisions today and tell yourself you're going to kick all those strange thoughts out. That feeling of, I am not good enough for this. I'm not good enough for him. I'm not good enough for her. I'm not good enough to be a multi-billionaire. I'm not good enough. Who said so? Who said so? How did you come to this point where you feel at 45 you can't be a billionaire? Who is offended by your being a billionaire? Who is offended by your being healthy? Why are you thinking the way your father died is the way you are? Why? Who paid the rent for this thing that is in your head? The only way to take it out is not to be single for bigger for. No, is to develop a strategy for communication, where you now begin to program your mind to think in a particular way. It doesn't happen by accident. It happens deliberately. You must get your scriptures. Huh? The devil tells you, your pregnancy, arrange your scriptures. I say, I will give birth like the Hebrew woman. It will happen quickly. It will be easy. It will surprise everybody. Yeah. Any other person who wants to have it, that's their problem. But for you, this is my own Bible verse. If they wake you up tomorrow and say, why are you saying this is the Bible verse? The problem is that a lot of people are saying stuff, they don't have Bible verse for it. Come on, say, I won't hold back. I will start speaking. I will start believing. And I'll start seeing changes. Come on, say, I won't hold back. I will start speaking. I will start believing. And I will see manifestations. I want you to pray for yourself and speak a word of blessing over yourself. I want you to speak a word of blessing over yourself right now. If you're online, I want you to speak a word of blessing over yourself, over yourself, over yourself. I want you to speak a word of blessing over yourself. Speak a word of blessing. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Speak a word of blessing over yourself. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Likabanda rabasuta indelekadia. Speak a word of blessing. Speak a word of blessing. Speak a word of blessing. Speak a word of blessing.